Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. I am especially delighted to see you all here today. If you are visiting, we are honored that you took some time out of your weekend to come see us. Thank you for being here today. I hope that we can get a chance to get to know you just a little bit better. Friends, we are 3 weeks down of To Be Leaders Camp, and we get a little bit of a break this week because our students are headed off to youth camp this week with Pastor Jake and Savannah and Jordan. And they are so excited. They're leaving right after church today, and they won't be back until Friday. And I know they're going to have the best week. We have 12 amazing students going with them. So please be in prayer for them while they are at camp this week, that they have the best time. It's going to be super hot, but it's going to be super fun as well. So we wish you guys a really great trip. Later on in the service today, we are going to do something called passing the peace. And it just means stand up and say hello to the friends around you and get to know someone near you or a little bit far away. Walk around, say hello. We invite you to do that. We are glad that you all are here today. I want to say happy Father's Day to all of you dads and uncles and grandpas and friends and anyone who is the most amazing father figure. I should say that Second Baptist Church is blessed with amazing men who have been father figures to all of us for over many years. And I have been especially honored to raise our boys here in this church where they have had so many amazing people to look up to. So thank you for who you are and for what you do. Happy day today to you. If you are worshiping with us online, we are delighted that you are here as well. Thank you for joining us. Now, everyone, let's take a moment and still ourselves and prepare our hearts for worship. The Lord be with you. And I invite you, if you are able, to stand with me for the call to worship today. The winds raged and the disciples trembled. Enter Jesus. Staring beyond the fear, daring us to do the same. Still, Jesus, offer a challenge not limited to wind and bullies. Staring beyond the fear, focused on the greater power.
Oh. Please pray with me. Dear God, we lift up your name. We praise you for all that you have done for us, continue to do for us, and for what you have planned for us. May we never forget that you are the one who hears us. May we love others in a way that shows your love for us. Amen.
Join me down at the front for children's time. Y'all want to come on down? Hey, good morning. Hi, good morning. Thank you for coming today. Here you come, Soleil, Kingston, welcome. Hey, how is everyone today? I'm so glad to see you. Come on down, Sadie. Come join us. Yeah. You want to come sit right over here? Want to come sit right over here? It's a good spot. I'm so glad you guys are here today. I want to have a little discussion. I'm curious if you guys have any fears. Does anything scare you? Anything? Nothing? You guys are all brave? Yeah. Nothing? Yeah, what scares you, Maddox?
Like sometimes, like spiders.
Spiders scare me, I agree. Definitely spiders. Alexa?
Sometimes clowns.
Clown, definitely a good one. Clowns are definitely kind of creepy. Yes? Any other fears? No? Y'all are, what did you say, Soleil? Zombies are very scary for certain. That's the best one so far. Anderson.
When you have nightmares and bad dreams.
Oh, I really don't like waking up from a bad dream. That's a good one, Anderson. Yes, Jackson.
Videos that talk about the end of the world.
Oh, we're going to move on past that. We're going to stay today in this part of the world. And Ren.
Lightning
scares me. Yes, you know what scares me? Birds. I'm very scared of birds. I don't like them. I don't like when they swoop. I don't like when they're by your car and you're trying to get into your car and they're right there and then they're going to move when you open the door. I don't like birds. They're very, very fearful of them. So that's weird, isn't it? I know. But you guys had some really interesting fears too. And did you know it's okay to be, we all have things that we're afraid of. We even have things we don't even know we're afraid of until we see them. And then we're like, whoa. Well, in our Bible story today, I really want you to listen to the scripture that's going to be read here in just a little bit in the service. And I want you to listen to some people who are afraid because there's a storm happening. And sometimes storms are scary, right? But guess who's right there with them? Jesus. Do you think you'd be afraid of spiders and storms and bad dreams if Jesus was right there beside you?
Yeah.
You still would? Yeah. Well, we're going to work on it. If Jesus was asleep like he is in the story, you might be a little scared. But if he's sitting right there next to you, I would think that maybe we have a little bit more comfort, right? Well, sometimes I was thinking about this today when I was getting ready. And when I was a little girl, there was this song that we used to sing. And it was kind of like a prayer. And it reminds me of today's lesson. And it goes like this. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And it's kind of like a prayer. Have any of y'all ever heard that song before? No, it's a little song that you can sing. I'm teaching it to you today. I love y'all. I'm teaching it to you today. It just, when you sing that song, and if you're scared, it reminds you that God is so big, so great, and so mighty that there's nothing God can't do for you, even when you're scared. He sent his son Jesus so that we'd know how to love and so we'd be protected. And we know that God's spirit is with us every time. I'm going to sing that song for us one more time. If you want to sing with me, that's great. If you don't, you don't have to either. It's still a little bit scary. It's still always going to be a little bit scary. But we know that God is with us to help us, comfort us, right, Jackson? I'm going to sing it one more time if you want to join in. And then we're going to pray. Ready? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Will you guys pray with me? Dear God, we thank you so much for your love. We know that we get scared sometimes. We know that we have these fears. But we are so grateful that you are so big and so strong and so mighty. And there's nothing you can't do to protect us and keep us safe and to help us know that we are loved. Help these children know that they are special and that they are amazing and they are made just perfectly like they are. God, we love you so much. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. All right, will you guys go back to your parents or to preschool praise with me?
Our first scripture this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 17, 33, 34, and then verses 38 through 45. Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I would go after it and attack it and rescue the victim from its jaws." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I'm not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. God, you are Father. You are Mother. You are love. These words, only metaphor, certainly they inspire us, and yet also you cannot be contained. But we do pray this day, giving thanks for teachers and coaches, for physicians and for stay-at-home dads. We give thanks that the Father figures in our lives have been a glimpse but of your glory. We lift our hearts together as a community of faith for those remembering the fathers who have gone before us. May you hold these in your grace and in your love this very moment far beyond what we can possibly understand. We pray for the many in this community, for the many fathers, for the many men who have buried children, in what seems to be the wrong order. We pray for your hope, your grace, your spirit beyond our understanding would be near. We pray for those in our community who grieve a life not lived with a father figure. We give thanks for the many in our community who look to a mother who has been a wonderful father figure. We lift all of these prayers to you, O God, asking for your grace, asking for your wisdom, asking for your provision. We pray that this would be so to your glory, that it would honor your name, the name of true love. For it is by the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, for which we pray together. Amen. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship.
Gospel reading this morning is from Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already swamped. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me Lord, you're the one that I build my life on. You're my rock, you're my hope, and you are my song. You pick me up and make me strong in a way. Precious Lord, now lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger there. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Take my hand when I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Thank you, Steve. R-O-U-S's, Princess Bride fans, rodents of unusual size. RTMBS for hikers, rocks that move but shouldn't. Yeah, acronyms, they're fun. Yeah, acronyms, that's cool. I want to talk to you about an acronym that I think is meaningful, helpful, and it's BWHAM, okay? BWHAM, big, wild, hairy, audacious monsters. Yeah, this is the gospel of our Lord. Yeah, big, wild, hairy, audacious monsters. They're all over the place in this world. They're all over the place in this life, right? Big, big, wild, hairy, audacious monsters. We have two of them. Our country is facing a big, wild, hairy, audacious monster. It is. As a country, it's important for us to pray together. Our soccer team, men's soccer team, is trying to qualify for the World Cup. You know, this is a big, wild, hairy, audacious monster. We know the women will win the thing, but we don't think the guys will even make it. So pray for our country. This is a big... Now, in our scriptures today, in the Samuel narrative as well in Mark narrative, both encounter a big, wild, hairy, audacious monster. David encounters such in the Philistine, and Goliath, and the disciples encounter as much as well on a man-made boat on a lake in which the storms are raging and encounter this storm and the seas rise. And this is a point in history in which the disciples thought of storms not because of the rising and the falling of temperatures and pressure, but because of the activities of God. Yeah, big, wild, hairy, and audacious monsters. I would imagine if we weren't joking around, you're also in your life facing a BWHAM, are you not? Yeah. And there are two fabulous words in our scriptures today that speak to BWHAM. The first word is in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4:38. It says that Jesus, despite this storm, Jesus was asleep on the stern, resting on a cushion. It's a great word, cushion. And right now, your cheeks are working that cushion. And I know, because oftentimes you sit in that same little cushion. And when someone sits in your seat and they mess up the little imprint you have in your cushion, you let me know about it. Yeah, cushion. No, it's an incredible word. Biblically, literally speaking, this is the tip of the cap. It's an incredible nod that the gospel includes here. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. These are traditions. These are communities. None of those individuals necessarily were eyewitnesses. None of them individually put their gospel together alone. Rather, these gospels are dependent upon the testimony of an eyewitness. And each gospel that is included in our scripture is connected deeply with an eyewitness of Jesus. And we think that the Markan community, the Markan gospel, is likely connected via Rome with the preaching of Peter. And so Mark includes this word and says, Jesus is not only asleep during the storm, he's asleep and he's resting on a cushion. It's an incredible nod. It's an incredible nod that says, the scriptures are true. The scriptures are trustworthy. The scriptures are alive, and I believe still speak today. You don't need a sign, and you don't need a megaphone. Can a brother get an amen? Yeah, yeah. No, you don't need all that. Silly. No, the scriptures, they speak. And even in the storm, not only do we have peace, we get a cushion. Oh, what an incredible word. The second word that captivates me, David, facing this bwham, reaches down into the wadi. He reaches down into the wadi, and he selects five smooth stones. Yeah, smooth stones, the scripture says. Chaluk is the word. It's only used one time in our scripture, hapax legomena. It's almost an unnecessary descriptor. River stones are often smooth, are they not? Most commentators think this is idiomatic language. It's like saying it's as hot as blue blazes outside. Yeah, I am pro air conditioning this week, okay? Yeah. The scripture says David selects smooth stones, reminiscent of one of my favorite verses in scripture. Isaiah 29:19 says, the meek shall receive fresh joy from the Lord. Fresh. Yeah. It's almost unnecessary. I mean, but what better kind of joy could there be other than fresh joy? These unnecessary adjectives give this idiom, give this beauty. I think there's a connection between these idioms of fresh joy and smooth stones. And so today, I'd like to consider with you five potentials, five smooth stones that I believe give meaning and beauty and vitality to living. These are stones I think that you can depend upon. These are stones that I think you can return to. It's fascinating. David reaches into the wadi. This is a different word than river. It's not the same word. David reaches into the wadi, which means like a collection where water collects. It's like your neighbor who runs a sprinkler system all the time. There's always water in your driveway. Are you picking up on problems that I have with people? I'm not bad. I'm not shy about it. Yeah, it's a collection. It's an incredible word, right? It's an incredible word. It says he receives five stones from the collection, from the water. A five shares the same root as the number, as the word Abraham, right? Shares the same word, a root for the word father. So scripture is saying that David reaches into the water and receives only that which the heavenly Father can give. Ah, oh, it's incredible. So five smooth stones. The first, will he catch it? Not if he's on the softball field, I can assure you that. Yeah, the first stone is disapproval. Yeah, it's disapproval. And David, preparing to face the Bethlehem, takes off the armor that belongs to Saul. This is the way you got to do it. You know, this is the way you got to face that big, wild, hairy, audacious monster. And David takes it off. And Saul criticizes him, right? Yeah. Yeah. Disapproval. And the reason why I think disapproval is so incredible, I think it portrays the life and the ministry of Jesus very well. Jesus in Matthew and Mark and Luke follows a 3-year journey. And the Gospel of John tells a slightly different story, but there's this 3-year progression in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And the first year is a year of obscurity. It's a year of obscurity. Who is this guy doing these miracles? Who is this guy saying these things? And it begins to catch on. Begins to catch on. The second year of Jesus' ministry is a year of popularity. Yeah, we learn. We learn. The crowd begins to follow. And this is where the Gospel of Mark begins here for us today. The crowd wants to follow, and Jesus escapes from the crowd. Yeah, yeah. And in the third year of his ministry, everyone, including those of his tradition and of his tribe, reject him and want to put him up on a cross. Yeah. So one third of his public ministry, one third of the time he spends teaching and healing and saving the world, is one third of his time is spent in times of disapproval and rejection. Yeah. Yeah. And as you may feel friction, as you may feel tension, as you may feel as though you are swimming upstream, I think you can be encouraged knowing we are likely then in the flow of Christ, who was also greatly disapproved. Disapproval is such a smooth stone because God has already given you all the approval you ever need. There's no external approval of man, woman, child, or otherwise. There's no more approval you will ever need. God has given you the approval. Therefore, let disapproval be a stone that you sling. Second stone. America's favorite pastime is not baseball. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's not. America's favorite pastime is not baseball. One of America's favorite pastimes, I believe, is criticism. Yeah. Particularly on Monday mornings in the fall. Yeah. It's criticism. It really and truly. And I think cable news and I think the internet has sort of exacerbated this reality. However, particularly with our scriptures, I think this has been a reality. This is a long story that humanity has told. And I believe a smooth stone is the opposite of criticism, and that's encouragement. Encouragement. Yeah. And Jesus did not commission us saying, go out and give really good criticism. And David comes in front of Goliath, and Goliath criticizes him. Yeah. The storms begin to rage, and the disciples say, Jesus, why are you doing anything? Don't you care about us? They begin to complain and whine and criticize, not knowing, right? Yeah. Yeah, criticism. And certainly there's times to receive criticism. Certainly in healthy relationship and healthy community, feedback loops can be helpful. Feedback loops can be part of the maturation process. However, I am suggesting that criticism is not a smooth stone. You were not commissioned to be a very good criticism giver. No. The scripture says, lift one another up, spurring one another on to acts of love and righteousness. Yeah. Our scripture, we are entering into the very initial activity of the divine. Six times in Genesis 1, six times the Lord says, it is good, it is good, it is good. Finally creating you and me in the image of the divine, the Lord says, it is very good. And when we encourage one another, When we spur one another on to works of love and righteousness, we are participating with that original divine work. Encouragement is a smooth stone. Two for two. I've improved since the early service. The third smooth stone. I think the third smooth stone is the stone itself. Yeah. And what I mean by that, in this world of ours, what an incredible world we live in, that we can join together our hearts and our souls and our minds and our bodies. We join together this very moment, worshiping with brothers and sisters and friends from around the city via the internet. Yeah, it's incredible. The technology. I am hot take. I am pro technology. I am pro iPhone. If you're a real Christian, if you're a heathen, you can carry an Android. Okay. I am pro technologies, cars with gasoline. I am pro antibiotics. It is incredible to live in this modern world. And yet I continue to be captivated by the teachings of John Muir that says, go out into nature and receive the heart of things. For as long as you live, get very near to the center, for there the Spirit is. Listen, our daughter has stolen my bride's iPad. Okay, and there is certainly time where technology is a helpful parenting tool. However, probably one of the things that none of us really truly need to feed our souls is more screen time. We know scientifically, we know physically, emotionally, psychologically, and I contend spiritually, that it is good for you to take your shoes off and put your feet in the dirt. It is good to feel the soil that God has called good. Good, good. 15 years ago, I met a monk at the Monastery of Christ in the Desert, a UVA grad, a Virginian who had made millions on Wall Street. And he told me he left it all to become a Franciscan. And he told me something I'll never forget. He said, I pray best when picking the weeds out of my vegetable garden. Yeah. There's a story of Antaeus, the mother of Earth, the son of Mother Earth. And Antaeus, this incredible hero like figure in Greek mythology, comes into a wrestling match with Hercules. And every time this Hercules, this demigod like man, would throw down his opponent, he noticed that as he lay down on the ground, his strength grew. But when Hercules held Antaeus up, his strength began to leave him. Reminding us, it is good to be connected to that which God has created, that which God has called good. Are you stressed? Go for a walk. Are you angry? Go hug a tree. The stone has been made smooth by the waters rushing around it. Get close to the center of things, for there the Spirit is. I didn't make any of these in the early service, just so you know. But Coach Sharp and I, we worked on it all. yeah. It's incredible. In the Samuel material, it describes Goliath by having spear and sword and shield and javelin. And we know historically, Goliath would not have had all of these weapons. This is our text suggesting that Goliath exists. These weapons existed, spear and javelin and sword and shield. Those weapons made of human technologies were implemented and used in very specific times and places in human history. And so when our text says Goliath had all these weapons, one of the things they're saying is there are Goliaths all the time. Big, wild, hairy, audacious monsters. And the text is saying, Goliath is making use of all that which man has created. And yet it is David who comes and stands in front of the BWAM and says, I come before you in the name of the Lord. Yeah. And David has this idea of that which might be possible. David has this faith, this courage, this dependence upon not which that he created. Yeah, all he's got is a stone. All he's got is a stone representing he has received this potential in the Lord. I think a fourth stone is wonder. It's wonder. Listen to the words of Abraham Joshua Heschel. Our goal should be to live in radical amazement. Get up every morning and look at the world in a way that takes nothing for granted. Everything is phenomenal. Everything is incredible. And never treat life casually. To be spiritual is to be amazed. Heschel continues saying, I would ask for certainty, but I know, O God, you do not give it. But you have given wonder time and time again. Yeah. The more we know, the more we think we know, the more limitations that we have put upon reality. But the more we address one another, the more we address our world with wonder and potential, everything is phenomenal, Heschel says. To be spiritual is to be in a posture of amazement. I think wonder is a great stone. David picks up five stones out of the wadi, and yet we know only one was really needed. Yeah. And with all the chaos, with all the things, all the meetings, all the stuff you have going on in your life, maybe it's just one thing, right? You don't need five stones. You don't need five more things in your life. But I encourage you, heart and mind and body and soul, maybe just to receive one thing. One thing. And the last stone, I believe, is rest. As the seas raged, as the winds not quite West Texas standards, but, you know, as the boat began to crash up against the waters, Jesus slept on a cushion. Yeah. The disciples wondered, are you going to do anything? Jesus slept. Now, in this world of ours says, in the face of your big, wild, hairy, and audacious monsters, if you will set big, wild, hairy, and audacious goals, you can achieve such goals with big, wild, hairy, and audacious effort. This is what the world says. And yet one of the Ten Commandments is to integrate rest and Sabbath into your schedule. Yeah. And Peter Scazzaro says Sabbath is taking a day to rest, to contemplate, and to celebrate. That's fresh joy. That's fresh joy. This world says you can achieve it. You can achieve that big, wild, hairy, and audacious goal with big, wild, and hairy, audacious effort. And the Lord says, rest. Now, Henry Nouwen says, we are busy because we are arrogant. Yeah. We are busy because we are arrogant. But when we rest, when we slow down, when we are disciplined to practice that stillness is the key, I believe this declares that the victory is not ours. The victory is not ours. When we slow down, the victory is the Lord's. So I pray that you would be disciplined to always return to that fifth stone of rest. We believe in Christ, who is a smooth operator. And as the BWAMs come, as the storm and the seas, receive the blessing of God. Peace. Be still. Let's pray together. For these, our friends, our brothers and sisters, gathered and scattered, we pray that it be your glory. We pray that it be your victory. Remind us, O Lord, of fresh joy. Strengthen us today in one way, with one smooth stone. May this give glory and honor to your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of true love, we pray together. Amen. Friends, what a joy and honor, just a privilege it is to worship with you. Your face, your voice, your presence is one of the primary ways we know that Christ is risen, that Christ is real, Christ is here. If we can be of help to you now or at your convenience, we'd be honored to do so. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship together.
And Omega. We, your imperfect creations, give thanks for the world you have made and all the things that you have provided. This morning, we lift up all those who suffer and call your name. We ask that you show mercy and graciousness unto them. God, we know that we often fall short of your plan for us. Therefore, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness when we fail both you and our brothers and sisters. Now in this hour, Lord, guide us with your love and wisdom. Open our hearts that we may give generously of our time, our talents, and our money. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pass the peace of Christ to one another.
I'd like to thank you for refraining today and all other days from throwing stones at me or any of our worship participants. That's a kindness of you. There are big, wild, hairy, audacious monsters, aren't there? They're all around, and they have been defeated today in Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord.